Hey, what's up? It's the Black and Jew Podcast, episode 40.
It's 39.
39, episode 39. We're not
quite Did you do that intentionally, or did you really not know that it was 39?
I actually did not know it was 39.
Wow, Reggie's slipping.
It's
episode... This is why I'm finding a new podcasting partner when I get to Los Angeles.
Go!
I'm just going to go the first black guy I see. I don't care who it is. It could be a homeless guy asking for change. I'll be like, you want to be the black and the Jew? Because my black guy's slipping. And I'll be like, the NSA put four on my teeth. I'll be like, you'll do fine. Don't worry. Just remember what episode we're on and you're good.
Ratings skyrocket from exactly. That point on. You're just like...
Number one Podomatic.
So I think women, and then they came. The green tomatoes went inside my brain. Exactly. You get me so well. Cottontail Joe.
I was waiting for the ridiculous nickname you were going to come up with for him. So yeah, man, I'm leaving.
Hey, you're leaving.
Leaving in a Ford Fusion. Thankfully, it gets really good fuel efficiency. Driving out to Los Angeles.
If for those listeners that aren't with us right now, none of them are with us right now.
They lost them?
Yeah.
My aunt knows that song. She'll like it. She's sticking around, right, Stelly? Tweet at us, Stelly, if you can figure out how to use your iPhone.
I meant like physically here with us. But yeah, those guys...
They killed themselves?
Yeah. Mike's house is all boxed up.
Yep, all boxed up.
The room that we constantly said looked like his dust jacket photo has no books in it. There's boxes marked... Arbitrarily.
I have like two boxes. Christine has like 10 boxes.
Yeah, there's a box for shoes, just shoes.
Yeah.
Which
I have two pairs of shoes in that box.
And there's a box for like your office stuff. And then there's a box for like...
So many books. She has so many books. But how could I fault her for taking the books that made me fall in love with her?
Right?
Because if I go to a girl's house and she's got books...
I've said it before. I've said it before. If your woman does not read books or eat fruit, she's a hoe.
She doesn't. If she doesn't
like
read books or eat fruit,
yeah,
she's a hoe. That's amazing.
Like if you know a woman out there that is adamant, like just doesn't read books or doesn't have a favorite book. I don't mean like it has to be like hoity-toity books. Like she'd be reading Twilight. I don't care as long as she's reading. She doesn't read books.
If she can't recite at least one Chaucer work by memory, she's ratchet. That's a ratchet
she's
bitch.
She's ratchet. And if she doesn't eat fruits, what?
So you say that she has to have a favorite book and she has to eat fruits.
Yeah.
That seems like a reasonable rule. I understand. It seems silly, but but really there's certain litmus tests that seem silly, but they work, you know?
I once went on a date with this girl,
mm-hmm.
and she did not believe in dinosaurs.
Shut up.
No, she didn't. She didn't. She adamantly believed that dinosaurs do not exist.
Was she really religious?
I guess. I mean, I'll take overly religious over overly dumb.
Yeah, like like that's the only case where being way too religious actually makes it better.
Yeah.
Because like if she had some like ridiculous religious belief, that's one thing. But if she just is so dumb and does not believe that dinosaurs existed, that is bad.
Yeah, that is very bad. It's bad already, but yeah, that would be very bad. So I don't know how it came up. We're having, you know, we're eating, we're having a meal, we're having dinner. And then dinosaurs comes up and then she's like, I don't believe in them. They're not real.
What?
And then
how did dinosaurs come up?
I guess like...
You're like, do you like dinosaur shaped macaroni? I do too. Yeah. Does your mom cut up your steak in little pieces?
Maybe had a steak and I'm like, oh, just like a caveman. And then she's like, a caveman? Like, she said it like a caveman. Like, what is that? And I'm like, you know, a caveman, dinosaur times. And she's like, oh, I don't believe in dinosaurs.
Well, you're a moron for thinking cavemans and dinosaurs existed at the same time.
Well, like...
So you're not better.
The things you relate to the
to the word idea. Association.
Yeah, like... Caveman, dinosaur time, you know, dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah.
Flintstones. And she's like, yeah, I don't believe in dinosaurs. And I'm like, whoa. I don't believe this is going to go anywhere. That's what I don't believe.
Did it go anywhere?
Hell no.
Really? You shut down the date?
Yeah. Well, I did. I after the date, you know, like the date went.
Was she really hot?
She was fairly hot.
She was fairly hot, and good for you for shutting down that date. I wouldn't have. I'll be honest. It is horrible because I learned now tonight my girlfriend, Christine's mom, was talking about how she listens to the podcast, so she's going to hear about my horrible things I used to do.
Christine's mom listens to the podcast?
Yeah, she does.
What does she listen for?
I just like to think she enjoys it. I don't know. Okay. I don't think of it as a screening process.
All right.
Her dad favorites my tweet sometimes. He'll go on like favoriting sprees. I like it. I think he's, you know, he's got a good sense of humor.
That's nice.
But they understand that I'm a comic, you know. They understand that the things that I say are in jest for the most part.
Haley's parents, like, her dad Googled me.
Yeah, what'd they find?
They found my stand-up videos and they think I'm funny, but they aren't as actively supportive as your girlfriend's parents.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, anytime I meet them, they'll ask me, so how's the comedy going? And I'm telling them, oh, this, this, and that. And then it kind of just ends there. Like, I don't expect them to be I don't expect them to favorite my tweets, much less have Twitter.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, just they know it's there. And, like, you have a good support system. Not that I need their support, though. Not that I'm actively looking for it.
They fuck those people. But you heard that here, Haley. He doesn't want to get that serious. He doesn't care about what your parents think. But I don't know. Yeah, it's good because they get it. I think it's because they see I'm a hard worker and that's what sells them on it.
Yeah.
And with my parents, too. Like, they'll support me because I don't really flounder around and wait for things to happen, you know? So they're okay with it. I think that's the main thing is being able to work hard and not being too good for stuff.
Yeah.
That's an important thing is to not be too good for anything. Like I'll shovel shit if I need to. I don't care. You know?
That's good. That's a good philosophy. Start. That's how I know you're gonna make it out there.
You don't know that.
In the Wild West.
You know, I was thinking about that and it's like, you know, I wanna be a writer. And I put together a packet to just in case, you know, I need to show it to somebody, which might be a little while before I get to that point where someone's asking me for a packet. And I was thinking like, at first I was thinking, oh, if it's really good, it's going to be enough. But really the reality of the situation is like, it has to be perfect. Right. And then they're going to have your perfect packet next to someone else's perfect packet and some small itty bitty nuance is going to be the difference between who they hire. So it's like, it has to be not only perfect, but perfect in the right way for them.
Huh.
Because like being a writer is like being the opposite of a welder. Because like they can't get enough welders to go out to rural Australia to work on mining companies, right? Or they're offering like six-figure salaries for people to be dump truck drivers in North Dakota and shit. Because they have oil, they have mines. They'll pay you all that money and then give you a plane ticket to wherever you want every single weekend you can fly out. And they still can't find people. You know?
But writers
is the opposite because everyone wants to be a writer.
Everyone wants to be a writer.
So you have so many people to choose from. So you could just be like, you know, he made one typo. I heard my friend, he works on a TV show and he told me that some people will, like some showrunners, if they see that if you have more than two typos, they will just stop reading your packet. And throw it away.
Really?
Yeah, if you have more than like two or three typos,
that's crazy.
They'll stop reading it. Because they have such a pool to draw from that it's like, oh, well, you know.
You didn't proofread this.
Yeah, you didn't proofread it. Like this guy obviously proofread it a million times. And because they have this huge pool to select from, it's like, why not just find the perfect person? Why make an exception for this person?
Obviously.
You know?
Damn, that's crazy. So it's so nuanced and like, you know, like specific that way. You can't just like go in like, I'm off the bus in LA, you know, like a musical. You can't just like, just hop out and like dance and sing to your way to the top.
I have, you know, I have just a kind of mentality about it that it's just like, I don't think about it like, oh, I'm going to pursue my dreams. Like for me, it's like, I'm going to pursue a career in comedy writing, you know? And like, just whatever I have to do along the way. Cause I know I'm going to be doing crap at first and I'm going to be slogging through really bad open mics and doing all this horrible things, but I like, you know, the sooner I do it, the sooner I'll get it out of the way, you know?
Yeah.
Cause you need that, you know, like I'm just trying to, you know, move my way up in the Los Angeles scene.
All right.
Starting from the bottom.
What show would you love to write for? Top three shows you'd love to write for.
Oh man, that's hard. Top three shows I'd love to write for. I never even really thought about it, to be honest.
Well, think about it now.
Well, Daily Show, obviously.
Daily Show.
Would love to write for the Daily Show. Honestly, dude, like, I would just be happy to write for any show, even if it's like, even if it was like a mult, like Two Broke Girls or something. I don't care. Like, I just
Two Broke Girls has a great writing team.
Do they?
Yeah. They do. Like, I forget this comic's name, but she's amazing. But like, they have a very solid writing team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec. That would be a big
Parks
one.
And Rec.
Parks and Rec would be a huge one to work on. The Simpsons. So I say Parks and Rec, The Simpsons, and what was the one I said at first?
Daily Show.
The Daily Show. Those would be my three top shows to write on.
I would love to write for Archer. Like Archer.
Yeah.
I'd love to write for Archer. Gimme Parks and Rec as well.
Yeah.
And either Boondocks or Black Jesus.
Ooh, Black Jesus. That's, I haven't seen it yet. Boondocks is amazing though.
Black Jesus is amazing. It's so good.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I need to see it.
You need to see it.
What's the name of the creator of that?
Aaron McGruder. Same guy from Boondocks.
So good, dude. I love Boondocks.
Like Black Jesus.
I'm so finally happy there's a cartoon about the black experience that I could relate to. Because it was hard before, you know? I didn't feel really.
There's just so many out there, and you're like, oh my gosh, Proud Family. I'm trying to relate, but I can't.
All these white people, I don't understand. Like these suburban white people, I can't relate to them. Yeah, I'm getting to the point where I'm like excited now.
It's right there, you know?
Like literally right there. I even put a background on my cell phone if you want to look at it. Wait, oops. Here, it's like these like tall palm trees with the sunset to get me pumped. Yeah, it's a nice background.
That's a nice background, actually.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. But that's what I'm getting excited, you know? Like, and I feel like I put a lot of hard work into preparation and.
Well, yeah, you did. And yeah. Like, just like you've said many times before, I'm just echoing this, but nothing's above you and you have a good work ethic about you.
No, everything's above me. Nothing's below me.
Oh, yeah. Nothing's below you.
Unfortunately, everything's above me at the moment.
Well, yeah, that, and you got a good work ethic. And you know what? Unlike most people, like, there's a two big hubs for comedy, right?
Yeah.
Now, every other place in the U.S. has those guys or those girls, you know, those men and women that are the best of their town, you know?
Yeah.
And they're either going to go out or stay there.
Yeah.
And you're doing way more than a lot of people are, which is moving out.
Yeah.
And getting while the getting's good. 2 years in, just get out, you know?
Because there's a ceiling that you hit. In any town that's not New York or LA.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've hit that ceiling. I think I could stay for a while longer and that would, and you know, cause like I'm not like hosting at the Improv or anything like that, but I think that at this point I have like a good solid chunk of material. Mm-hmm. What's big for me is, and I think that everyone always says never develop in LA, like never start in LA or New York. And I could totally see why, because now I'm confident that I could go up and someone could be like, oh, we're going to give you 15 minutes. Do you have like a tight 15 minutes? It could be absolutely, you know, I'm lucky enough to have to get that kind of time that you wouldn't get starting out. Cause I've only been into 2 years and like Freddie's nice enough that he'll let me close out his room.
Yeah.
And like I've closed it out enough times that now I'm comfortable doing 50. Like at first when I would do 15 minutes, I'd be like, oh fuck, 15 minutes is so long. But now I'm just like, okay, whatever, like not a problem at all, you know?
Exactly.
And it's good to walk in there with the confidence about that. So, cause like some of the open mics there are brutal. Like I went to a few and they're just like having a room of audience, like at Artistic Vibes, it's heaven, you know?
Damn. And like the place they chose it for you. It's
sweet. Oh yeah. Yeah. It looks really good. It looks really nice.
And where's it at?
In Glendale, North Glendale.
Okay. Is that a nice place?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's like, I mean, yeah, it's nice because some of LA is just real bad. You know, like some of, like, someone was saying, like, in other parts of Glendale, those are like Armenians and gang violence. Gang violence.
So it
changes from block to block sometimes. Like how you go in Coconut Grove and it's like one block is nice and then the next block, it's like, the hood, Well, yeah, it's a...
It's the Coconut Grove hood, though. It's not...
Yeah, it's pretty hood, though. Like, there's some shit that goes down there, I'm sure, you know. It looks... Or maybe that's just my white paranoia. But I think it is, because I do... Actually, I do know of, a friend of mine, like, more of an acquaintance. His dad was lost in that neighborhood and asked for directions and got killed.
What?
Yeah, near Coconut Grove. Dude, it's really bad there.
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude, it's bad, man. Like, that area is, like, that's one of the, like, I think it's Grand Avenue and 37th Avenue. Like, that intersection is, like, a really dangerous intersection. Like, one of the most dangerous intersections in the United States, I think.
Yeah. United States?
Yes.
Shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
Maybe it's tapered down, but, yeah, it's, like, it's probably gotten, there's a little bit of gentrification happening there, but, slowly edging the original residents out, but you know,
that's crazy. You know, I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna miss you, Mike.
I'm gonna miss you too, Reggie. I'm gonna miss everybody so much. Like, I really feel like I've made a comedy family.
Yeah, that's the way it feels like. Like, you're the first like comic I know that I've gotten close to that I know is leaving. Like, I mean, I was bummed when Ralph left.
Yeah.
Like, because I was like, damn, I was just getting to know Ralph. Oh, mm-hmm. Well. But I've been podcasting with you for 40 episodes. And it's just, what?
You said that to fuck with me, didn't you?
Yeah. But yeah, I've been podcasting with you. And like, we're still going to podcast. Don't worry, listeners. You'll still get your...
And it won't sound shitty and Skypey. We figured out how to make it sound good.
Yeah. You'll still get your fix of the Black and Jew.
Well, actually, if you might not know, listeners, but one of our episodes was recorded over Skype, and figure out which one it was, and you get a special prize, which has yet to be determined because I just made this up right now.
Yes, you'll figure. By the way, we've said which one it is.
Have we?
Actually, we in that episode, we said we're via Skype right now.
Oh, did we? I didn't even realize that. Well, whatever. Yeah. If you're listening, you still get a prize.
Yeah.
So tell us what episode it is.
So, you know, I was bummed when Ralph was leaving, but now, you know, I'm podcasting with you. We go to the same rooms. We're at the same open mics. You know, we've been like... We grew in this year together.
Yeah.
We made this project, and now you're going to move on, and oh my gosh, it's going to suck without you.
I know. I'm not, it's really bittersweet to be leaving Miami. Yeah. Like, I'm excited about it, but like, I really fucking love the South Florida comedy scene. Like, it's a really good scene. And even though I don't have experience in other scenes as much, like, I've done a few open mics in places where I've gone traveling, right? Mm-hmm. And I did not get the same vibe as I got here. You know, this is just, there's so much camaraderie here. It's just, people are awesome. There's really, I can't think of any comics I don't like. Like, I pretty much like every single comic except for that one guy. You know who you are. Not really. But like, no, it's been good, man. It's been like, it's like a really, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss all the people because comics are like some of the greatest people to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I was bummed when Gato left and Irene left.
Me too, man. Yeah.
That was a surprise to me. Like, I knew Irene was leaving. I didnn't know Gato was
leaving. Yeah, Gato, I had no idea. Yeah. Now she's working at Warby Parker.
Is she?
Yeah.
What? Man, I wanted to get a job there. I mean, I can't get one, but like, you know, if I were to work anywhere,
did she move there with her girlfriend?
I think so, yes.
Oh, okay.
I need to hit Gato up. I hope she still listens.
I was messaging with her today or yesterday, and I was asking her if she went up a lot, and she was saying not as much as she wanted to, and I gave her my advice of coming up with a minimum.
Good advice. Very solid
advice. I find that if there are any comics listening that ever feel guilty about not going up enough, give yourself a minimum, and then once you hit that minimum, you won't feel guilty anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't been going up that much lately because of the move, but...
Oh, yeah. That's understandable. You're moving. Like, give yourself a break.
Yeah, exactly. And I had a lot of shit to do, but I still have been going up at least 3 times a week, so...
Yeah. I'm going to hit up Gato up. Gato, if you're listening, I'm going to hit you up.
Yeah. If Reggie hasn't hit you up, then he's a bad friend.
Yes. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here, Gato. Yeah. Damn, she's working for Warby Parker. That's so awesome.
They make glasses, right?
They make glasses, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I'm not some glasses-wearing fucking nerd like you, Ricardo.
Yeah, you're a pleb 2020 vision.
2020 vision, 30 frames per second, you get 60 frames per second. I think the hardest thing to watch be packed is the kitchen, because that's like where the magic happens.
Well, yeah, that's your hearth, you know, like that's where the fire is. That's where magic has been literally been happening.
I think that I'm more known for my baking than for my comedy in the South Florida comedy scene. Like, people introduce me, they're always like, yeah, this is Michael Marianoff. He's a good friend of mine. He's a great baker. He makes awesome, delicious bread. That's how Jessica Gross introduced me last time I was at the Last Call show. She was like, he bakes delicious bread. I know firsthand because I've tried it.
And then she didn't say, he's very, very funny. Here's Mike Marianoff.
No, I don't think she said that. No, she probably did say that. But I've had people way more about the bread than the funny.
Do you think your bread baking skills will transfer over to LA?
And hell yeah. Yeah, kidding me?
How are you going to make friends in LA?
I don't know, man. You know, I just make it a point to introduce myself to everybody at a mic.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And if you aren't cool with it, then go fuck yourself, because you're obviously a shitty person.
Yeah.
Because when I went on the trip to LA, I was at this one mic at this place called Amsterdam Cafe or some shit. I introduced myself to all these people. And this one guy was like, oh, if you're in town, you want to do a spot on the show that I have? It was like a book show at the end of the night. And I was like, yeah, sure, man. And he's like, cool. So I got to go on the show because I introduced myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of, you know, and also there's people out there that I know. You know, Forrest is out there. Dave Williamson's out there. Another comic is moving out there who I don't think he's announced it fully yet, so I'm not going to say. But I think you know who it is. No? All right, I'll tell you after the podcast.
Ooh.
But so there's people, you know, and it's cool because Joey, Christine's brother's out there. So I know some people.
Nice.
Which is good. It's good that I know comics that are much more advanced in their careers than me, but not too much more. You know, they're not on, you know, doing Conan every week yet. So they're not above talking a lowly man like myself. JC Carraz is out there. Yeah. So
that's
a good
true.
Circle. You know, there's a great circle of Miami comics out there.
Damn.
And they're all the shit. Like, Dave Williamson is the fucking man. Like, he has helped me so much. Like, he always gives me great advice, you know. He's great. He's a great, 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 great dude.
Damn.
I'm excited, dude. Like, I'm excited, and I'm not really that apprehensive, to be honest. Maybe because I beat cancer and, like, other things seem a little bit less. It's just, like, going to be weird working again, you know. It's going to take some adjusting.
What job do you have? What are you?
Well, I'm just going to go out there and just hit up everyone on the UTA job list.
UTA?
Yeah, the United Talent Agency. They put out this job list every week with people that need, like, assistance, people that need managerial positions.
Yeah.
All this shit. And, like, and I'm just going to hit up, because my plan is I'm going to try to be an assistant to a producer or something, you know, just like get to know. Like, I had one guy tell me, he's a higher up, and, you know, Christine's dad was nice enough to introduce me to this dude that introduced me to this other dude who's a higher up on a show. And he was giving me some advice, really nice guy. And he was telling me that if you want just to break into the industry, a good place to start off is in an agency. Because you get to understand, like, you're like in the fold of the business there. You know? So, and I have experience being an assistant to a nightmare of a person. So, such a nightmare. This guy was such a nightmare that me and the person I replaced, who was his assistant before me, watched The Devil Wears Prada and was like, if our boss was that laid back, we'd be pretty fucking happy. And that's not an exaggeration.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's my plan, or to be, we'll see when we get there, you know, but there's a lot of work out there. And I got my sugar mama, so it's cool.
And job with Christine, good?
Yeah, everything's locked down.
Fucking amazing.
Starts around Thanksgiving.
Damn.
Yep.
So you're entering LA better than I've known most comedians that, like, talk about their entering LA stories on, like, podcasts. Like, you're not going to be homeless.
Nope, not homeless.
You're going to have a strong foundation.
Yep.
Good friends over there. You've actually been doing comedy for a moderate amount of time.
Yeah.
And you can cook. I don't know.
So why isn't anyone picking up my pilot yet? I don't understand. No, I'm lucky to have a very good support system. You know, like I really do. From Christine's parents, from my parents, like Christine's parents went out there and scouted houses for us so we didn't have to go down and find an apartment. Mm-hmm. And they went to so many different places and they're kind of discerning. So they're like, no, you're not living here. You're not living here. This place is too shady. And we were like, oh, is it really going to be too shady? But whatever, we just trust their judgment and we found somewhere good. But I'm lucky to have a support system like that. And I promise you, Black and Jew listeners, all right, if I have some success, I promise you, and call me out if I do, I'm not going to say, oh, I did this all by myself. I made it on my own.
You heard it here. Episode 41. All right, guys. That's the episode where Mike said he did not do it on his own.
Yeah, episode 369. It's the one where I said I didn't make it on my own.
I need to start making moves like you, man. Like there's like, now that you're moving out, the comedy just became more real. Like it's been real before, but now it's like, wait a minute, someone's actually doing this. Someone I know is moving. Like when my friend
someone
Abe
you're
moved,
close with, yeah.
Yeah, my friend Abe moving, that was like a wake up moment. And like, this is the second one. And oh my gosh. Like Abe's in the thick of it right now. Like he's in an up and coming comedy, like, you know, town, Portland.
Portland's a great city.
Yeah. And it's like, and it has like, if the Helium is up there, all the big names go through the Helium. And then like, you know, if there's a big tour and like Ron Funches is from there. Matt Brogner's from there. Oh my gosh.
I know there's this girl named Whitney Streed. I don't know if you, she's like a veteran of the, we were talking to Abe and I was asking if you knew her. I only know her because she had this open mic and I was going to see this Red Fang show when I was in Portland, and I hit her up and I'm like, hey, could I come to the mic like after the show? And she's like, yeah, sure. She was super nice. And like, I went up, she put me on the list at the end of the night. Really, really cool person. Like for the brief time we interacted, but she's fucking hilarious, has a hilarious Twitter feed and Facebook. So if you are listening, follow Whitney Streed, 'cause she's fucking awesome. Yeah. She's really good. I think Abe might know her something. He says she's like a veteran of the scene.
Oh, okay. Damn. And now you got your packet. You got the scripts done.
Let's see when that comes into use. Who knows?
Oh my gosh.
But it's good to just have it because I want to just be able to write it without any distractions.
Yeah.
Like because I don't want to have to throw that together. Yeah, apparently Donald Glover, when he was asked to submit for 30 Rock, he just had it waiting for him. He just had it waiting there and just sent it over in PDF. And then there was another person that was asked to submit and she didn't. And she just wrote it overnight and she still got in the show, but that must've been hell. Like writing a packet overnight is just like writing a packet in the course of a month is fucking hell. But you know, doing it overnight is like, I can't even imagine.
Oh goodness.
But it made me realize I really need to start writing every day. Cause I wrote the pilot first. And then I wrote the spec scripts and then I went back to the pilot and I'm like, God, this is way shittier than it should have been. This would have been much better if I wrote it last because I was writing the specs. And like, you know, the more pages you write, the better you get at it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a muscle you got to like, you know, lift weights for and flex and like do all that stuff for.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And people like, you know, it takes a lot of work to look like you're not doing work. Like, like you got to be like a duck where like you're calm on the surface, but under the water, your legs are kicking like shit.
Really? Is that how ducks work? I'll just, for the sake of the analogy, let's say.
Yeah, like, you know, like a duck is like calm up top, but then like the legs are like paddling.
Oh,
they're not kicking like crazy, but you know.
I thought they were slow like.
Oh, they're paddling.
You got to be like a duck. That's just the tip of the duck.
That's the tip of the duck.
Artists for years want things to be look effortless, like what's his name? The Renaissance man guy, Michelangelo. Yeah, Michelangelo. He had all these sketches that he did that he threw away because he wanted to look like he was an effortless master. So millions of dollars of sketches are just like decomposed.
Yeah,
somewhere in Italy.
They're in like some like Italian dude's pointy boot. Like, they just...
I don't know if he's stored in a boot. I think he just threw it away.
Like, yeah. You know, he's, like, walking through, like, some canal or something. I don't know what they do in Italy. And then, like, he steps on a...
Italians. I don't know what they do.
His cannoli drips. He steps on it, then steps on a Michelangelo sketch. And he's like, hey, what the fuck is this, hey? And that's what...
He sounds Canadian in your rendition. Hey, what's that, eh? Ooh, it's a Michelangelo, eh? I'd like myself one of those, eh? Yeah, it was kind of grueling to put that thing together, to be honest, but that's kind of what you got to do. You just got to remember that you're not special and that you have to work your ass off, and there's no fucking exception to that.
That is very true. Once you go over there, you're going to be another guy that does comedy.
Yeah, there's going to be a million people like me. I'm not going to be...
Yeah, it's not going to be like, oh, there's Mike. Remember when we saw Mike at AV? No, it's not. It's going to be like, who's that guy again?
You know, exactly. Yeah. It's just...
It's like when you enter college.
If you're a big fish, you'll be a big fish with a bunch of big fish in a big pond.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, you're like a fish in the ocean.
It's like when kids thought they were special in high school, then they go to college. Yeah. Like, you're just another number.
You're just another dude. Yeah.
You owe this much money. You have to go to these classes and don't eat shit. That's it. And then you... As soon as you realize that you're not special, you'll start being special.
Because, you know, part of my... incentive for going is like, because I've worked my way up the comedy scene ladder in Miami, where people don't all leave when I go up on stage, which, of course, because that's like a rite of passage. Like, when you start going up, people, like, the good people do not stay for your sets.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, here's a new guy. This is time to take a break.
Exactly.
You know, and then I've worked my way up where I've been able to get longer sets and on book shows and stuff like that. And I just want to start doing that in LA as soon as possible. You know, just like work myself up the ladder to the point where like people are like, oh, that guy's good at this. Or like, that guy's not horrible.
That guy isn't like that guy that's talking about the monkeys that gnaw his brain. Let's stay here.
It's a character piece, Reggie. All right. That guy's actually a genius.
Bet those people are all geniuses. They're all like sociologists doing like studies.
Yeah. We win. Yeah. Eric Da Silva said once how did he say it? I don't know if he said it on the podcast, how he once was in a wheelchair. He did comedy in a wheelchair.
Yeah. That was the podcast.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then he just said, fuck you people.
I don't want to start shade, but who are you going to miss?
Who am I going to miss?
Yeah.
Not Daniel Reskin. No, just kidding.
That's a horrible question to ask. Who are you going to miss?
Who are you going to miss, Michael?
What are the things you're going to miss? You might have touched upon that earlier, but like, what are the things you're going to miss?
Going to miss everyone speaking Spanish.
Okay.
I'm going to miss the horrible drivers on Calle Ocho.
Uh-huh.
The thing that is like really painful for me to leave is this house.
Really?
Yeah, this house is the hardest thing. One of the hardest things. And I said that in front of my parents. But yeah, dude, this house is so awesome. It's got the nice Spanish tile. It's got all the banyan trees. You know, it's got like canopy road. It's like fucking, I love this house so much. And everyone that comes on the podcast comments on how awesome it is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to miss this a lot, you know? And I'm going to miss just, dude, everyone, the wolf pack, fucking Paul Jumeus and James Pate and Andres, the guinea pig eater, you know, from Peru. Yeah, they just started. They're just cool people, you know, like just everyone, dude. Like, there's just so many fucking cool people you meet in the comedy scene. And I'm sad to leave them, but it's like, it's bittersweet because I'm going on to good things. But, and definitely the AV crew, like, I'm going to miss AV a lot. I went there today, actually. I made them some sandwiches with my bread, and then I gave them a loaf with some homemade peanut butter.
There you go.
Yeah, and just, going to miss them. Because they're wonderful, man. Like, they were nice enough that now that my last show is going to be AV, they're going to give me a feature set this Thursday.
Fantastic.
Yeah, which is just like, that's why I bake them bread, because they're that awesome, you know?
All right, and then what's the first thing you're going to do once you get to LA? I know there's packing, there's like...
Take a shower, because I'll be gross from the road trip.
Are you gonna go to stand up that same day?
No.
No?
Definitely not. No.
Definitely not.
I'm gonna wait for the soul crushing reality of the new scene that I'm at the bottom of the barrel of to hit me. I'm gonna wait for that.
Do you ever think that you're literally gonna be a brand new person in LA?
No, because that's not true. That's not gonna happen.
No. Like, so let's say you were to go to Wyoming.
Uh huh.
Have you ever set foot in Wyoming before?
No.
Exactly like that feeling. You know, like you're gonna go to a whole, like, I've never set foot in LA.
Yeah.
And if I were to all of a sudden live in LA, like, LA now has me within its borders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
How much pot did you smoke before this episode? No, the Black and Jew podcast, we're a drug-free podcast.
We are drug-free, except for that one podcast where we drank. What was that podcast, listeners? Find that one, tweet at us, and you'll get something.
A super prize, a lock of Reggie's hair.
You guys want a lock of my hair?
His head hair, a lock of my back hair. The signature black person curly hair and the signature Jew back hair.
So, yeah, that's actually a pretty tough episode to find.
Yeah. Well, illegal drugs. We don't do illegal drugs on this podcast. I mean, in parentheses or with a little asterisk, depends on the guest. Because I'm sure that we've had intoxicated guests on the podcast before.
We had a nice little run of guests, by the way.
Yeah,
like those were.
We really covered the gamut of Miami.
Yeah, we did. We got it. We got a lot of. We got a good chunk of people.
Yeah.
In the 39 episodes that we've been recording.
All right.
We got a good chunk of people.
I think. Yeah. Hopefully, Freddie can come on tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he could be our last guest, which would be fitting because he's so Miami.
You know. He's all about Miami, and we're going to cover that tomorrow.
I need to message him. I'll message him after the podcast is over. Or actually, you guys hold on. I'm going to message him now.
All right. You guys wait.
Not really.
And Christine, how are things on her end?
On her end? I feel like I'm the guest now. You're like interviewing me.
This is yours.
This is a twist episode where I'm the guest. For episode number 39, Michael Marianoff. I'll put my Twitter handle in it.
Yeah. So now...
Christine's excited. She, you know, Christine, she's moved around a lot when she was a kid, so she's kind of used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So she was kind of ready to go, and her job was kind of like getting to the point where she was not really advancing like she should.
Like she should, so then...
Like, she needs to, you know, yeah, just get a little change of scenery. Career wise and whatnot. But yeah, she's looking forward to it. You know, like it was hard for her to find a job, man. Like,
yeah,
she had to do so much shit to finally get this transfer, but she's it's there.
But yeah, now it's there and she's getting it.
I'm working on the fruits of her labor. I'm eating them. She bears a lot of fruit. And like we said, good women. Books and fruit.
Books and
she
fruit.
She doesn't eat fruit. Like, when's the last time you ate a peach? I don't know. I've never even had a peach. Get out of here.
Get out of here. You're a hoe. So then things are safer because she found a job, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Definitely.
But I feel like what we have is a partnership, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we don't...
I obviously do see that, like, what you give her and what she gives you are both... It's an equivalent exchange, you know? It's like, I give you something...
Like, I'm a hooker.
Yeah, just like that.
Dirty hooker. That's why I'm wearing heels right now.
And you look so very nice with those heels. I know.
These Louboutins did not come cheap, but I got my sugar mama to get them. But yeah, it feels like a partnership, you know? That's how it's been very early
on.
There's
a bunch of podcasts or comedy blogs or whatever that talk about the subject of loving while having comedy in your life.
Uh-huh.
You know, having this thing that takes so much of you.
Yeah.
And then having a human being in the midst of all that, you know, another human being that you live and share with. And, you know, most of the time is that it's kind of negative. Like, oh,
really?
I'm dating comedy, but I'm also dating this person. And like, you know, where does my time go? Or the other party being jealous that like this person's always on the road.
Yeah.
Now do I trust this person?
Oh, let me tell you, I get booked on the road so much that.
Well, yeah, but no, like, And then, you know, I see the support. I see the I see the foundation, and I see the it's like that Kanye West song, the one about gold diggers. There's a line, there's a verse in there where he's like, where he goes like, stick with him, because you see that fire in his eye. He got that ambition, baby. Huh. Whereas it's a very good song. That part of the song was very
The only part I know is the first line, like, how does it go? Like, you know, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
Yeah, she's not messing with no broke N-words, that's for sure.
Taking the moral high ground like an asshole.
So yeah, so then there's something really good happening here, and...
Yeah, I think she's cool with the fact that I'm not making as much money as her because I'm not fucking lazy. That's the thing, it's ambition, you know? It's not really a matter of... It's like... I think that, and with women, you know, everyone says, oh, women, they just want guys that make a lot of money. I think it's more that women just want, they just want someone who's ambitious, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the important thing. You don't have to be like rich. It's just like, you don't want to just be
someone who's not lame,
sitting on your
limp.
Fucking ass, you know, has no direction or anything like that. Like, ambition, it's sexy for girls. Mm-hmm. Girls like it, you know?
No, most definitely.
And she's really smart too. And it's like very, it's a lot easier to be with someone that's intelligent because like they get situations. Like I've been with people that were just so stupid and like, just like, God, it's so hard. Like I used to date this girl that like, I was at her house and, I had forgotten my chemo pills and I'm like, look, I got to go home. And she was like, no, stay here. You can't just skip one. And I'm like, no, not really. It's kind of important.
Oh my God.
Fucking like idiot. Like so stupid.
You can't just skip one.
Yeah, like just, and you know, just like really dumb. And then the girl I dated after her was like, "Oh yeah, I'll drive you back home so you can get them because it's obviously important because she wasn't stupid." But it helps, you know, because like Christine never, like she never interprets a situation poorly. Mm-hmm. It's always like it's never like. You don't see it the right way. It's like I can't believe you see things this way, you know?
Yeah.
Usually if she's upset, it's because I fucked up somehow.
Yeah.
That's the only time. It's usually me. It's almost always me because she doesn't really do anything wrong. But she, I've never been in a situation where like I felt like she's overreacted, you know? She like takes everything very well. That's good to have in a partner. Because mm-hmm. like you don't want to be explaining to some moron why you're mad that they stayed out for 2 days and didn't call you or they're yelling at you because you didn't call them after you got a surgery and you were under that other retarded girl did the same thing too. She did that once. She got upset because I was in recovery and I didn't text message her. It's just, oh my God. But you're more honorable. Like you would have probably cut it off at that point. I didn't. I was just like, let's just run this into the ground.
You know? Let's just run this into the ground. If I would have had, you know, cancer.
Uh-huh.
And you got mad that I didn't text you. I would chill. All right, that's the least of your worries right now.
Yeah.
Unless you were worried that I had died and I couldn't text you.
Yeah. Well, this wasn't a cancer related surgery. This was for my hip.
Oh.
But she was just really dumb. But like, I still continued with it because I was just like, you know, I'm on crutches. I can't get out there. You know,
I'm on crutches. I can't get out.
Like
there.
I can't put myself out there. Like I'm not ambulatory, you know, like I got to take what I can get. I'm like, you know, whatever. I got to say, I am proud of myself. I did meet two girls while I was on crutches.
Nice.
Two different girls. And while being impeded mobily.
Nice.
I think that's
your trundle bed.
That's my trundle bed. Exactly. That's my trundle bed. That just goes to show you the Jew charm, how well the Jew charm works.
I know I'm in crutches, but...
but these bagels and these prices. I will say the cancer is a big asset when you talk to women.
Because it doesn't make you fearless?
No. Or it's because it brings the conversation to a deeper level, you know, pretty quickly, you know, so you start talking about like matters of life and death and like, You know, just like heavy
it's
shit.
It's a catalyst for like, I'm going to really get to know you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh, well, we talked about this big thing. And even though we just met, I feel like I really know you.
Yeah.
Which I think that guys that are maybe a little bit more savvy than me just do that anyway without cancer.
Yeah.
But it kind of just did that for me. Like my friend, a friend of a friend, he's, you know, he's really good with women and he does that all the time. And he's just like, it's the girl be like, I can't go home with you. Like, I don't really even know you that well. And he's like, well, didn't we, you know, talk about this and this? Like you would probably, your best friend probably doesn't even know this. We had a really great conversation. Like, I feel like I know you really well. They're like, all right, cool. I'll go back to your house now.
It's one of those things, talking is like insanely valuable. Like if you can cut the time where one person doesn't know you and then knows you,
yeah,
you're golden. Like the quicker you can talk about what are you afraid of,
yeah,
is very important.
That should be like a pickup line. Like you're like, hey, sweetie, you want a drink? What are you afraid of?
Oh, give me 2 shots of whiskey. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of right now.
Strange men asking me what I'm afraid of. Touche. So happy I don't have to do that anymore. So happy I'm not single. Oh my God. Dating is such a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass.
It seems like fun when people describe it.
Yeah.
But the reality is just, it's not good. It's like describing, it's like camping. You know, like you talk about the great outdoors, but you forget about the bugs and sleeping on the ground.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? It seems romantic, but I'd rather stay at home and watch Netflix in my underwear. Seems a lot better. Look like you're deep in thought, Reggie.
I am deep in thought.
This is a late podcast. I wonder if the listeners can tell.
It's a late podcast, it's what, but it's also
10:45
right
now.
I also feel like it's a somber one.
It is a somber one. Because usually we're surrounded by all these books and all these things in here.
Yeah.
And like I've sold a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like I there's not that clutter in the corner. It's like weird, man. It's like I feel happy to be leaving, but like I leave with a heavy heart.
Yeah.
I miss mostly the comedy people. Mm-hmm. That's like the big thing, man. Because I feel like I made a family. Like when I see... starting with the comedian at the same time and then developing in tandem, it feels like growing up with someone.
Yeah.
Like it's like your comedy childhood, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this will be the last time I have to like find the metal chair, the metal black chair.
Yeah.
Fold it open in front of the, you know, the
I give you like
mic,
the peasant so. Equipment. Like they get the boom mic, the nice boom mic, you know, and you got like the straight up and down mic that you got to put in your crotch and a folding metal chair.
Yeah.
And I get the luxury seat because I own all the equipment. So I'm like the fat cat Jew making the black guy dance and entertain.
And this will be the last time, you know, we'll see this desk right here. And we're just...
Let's describe more things visually for people that can't see it.
Yeah. So you enter
just trust me, listeners. It's a nice desk.
So you enter this sunroom. It's not a proper sunroom, but it's a slight sunroom.
It's a converted garage.
It's a converted garage.
But you wouldn't even know it by how nice it is.
You wouldn't even know it. Steps, Hugo's little bed by the door. Right behind me is an easel. An easel with a chair. The easel usually had for the longest time had
pictures of avocados.
Pictures of avocados. A study of avocados, maybe. I don't understand. Charcoal.
John the thing what's his name? Michelangelo would have thrown away.
Yeah.
Before he made his master avocado portrait.
And then there's books all behind Mike, right? And then there's the windows. The windows, Mike gets one window right across from me and I get the other one. And usually they're closed, but every now and then, like whenever we do the podcast, there's like a butterfly just outside.
It's true.
Just fluttering. And, you know, I just look at that. I'm like, oh, look, looks like it's going to be a good show. Then we just get into it. And then, you know, Mike has his like whole setup, the MacBook, the MacBooks right here on the steel stand.
You get it, Black and Jew listeners. Now you get what I'm sad about leaving. Yeah. The metal stand. And you've got these like little Mexican tiles that are fucking cool as shit.
Yeah. These little these earth orange tiles, right?
You know, I was talking with Christine about it in the car, and I feel like leaving Miami is like leaving the womb.
Yeah.
I feel so safe here, but you know, it's not like I need to feel unsafe. I need to feel challenged. Yeah. You know? It's weird, dude. It's like, cause I've been in the womb, like the womb of cancer, of not working, you know, like being, not having to make tough decisions all the time.
Relatively cozy, you know?
Well, I guess I have made tough decisions and stuff, but you know, yeah, it's like relatively cozy, like not working, not a whole lot is expected of me. You know, it's, and now I'm, and I'm about to leave it. It's a pretty steep transition,
mm-hmm.
You know,
very steep transition. Transition where, well, just like when you were out of the room, womb, they smacked your butt, you cried, and now you're breathing oxygen, you know?
Yeah.
Now you're eating mush, and you grow.
Sucking on your titties.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. And it's, I just know it's going to be fucking grueling for so many years after this. Like, this is like the part in the movie. This is my Tatooine.
This is your Tatooine.
You know, I'm like vapor farming.
Yeah.
And I want to leave, but it's going to be different. Shit's going to get real. Yeah.
My aunt won't let me.
And then you do leave and you're like, oh, fuck.
And then you know, you come back to their carcasses and you're like, ah, shit. Damn.
I hope there's no carcasses, but carcasses of, I don't know, of my old comedy life. Shed it like an exoskeleton. Start in a new place. Start from the bottom, all pink and raw and vulnerable, like a hermit crab that just shed its shell. Yeah. It's funny because my sister was like, you know, I know that you hate that you're not working and stuff, but you're going to look back at a certain point and be like, oh man, those are some good times.
Those were some good times.
And yeah, I can understand that because like, it's going to be really, really difficult and it's going to be exhausting. And now it's kind of like a little more chill. I could wake up, you know, walk Hugo, sit on the couch and write. In this beautiful house with the light coming through, but our new apartment looks pretty nice, though. I think it's going to be good. But it's not like what can match this house?
Nothing.
Yeah, it's for rent. If anyone wants to rent it out,
how much is the rent?
I don't know. We haven't determined it yet.
All right, determine the rent. I'll get back.
PM me, message me on Facebook, Black and Jew listeners. I'm trying to sell all this stuff, and I feel like a sleazy used car salesman. Because like I'm trying to like. Like, I'm like, hey, you want, like, Chewy was interested in buying some turntables. And I'm like, hey, man, you still interested? Like, hey, I'll sell them to you for this much. And he's like, yeah, maybe, nah, probably not. I've sold a surprising amount of things. I sold my turntables.
You did.
It made me nostalgic because I, like, took the turntables and I plugged them into the stereo. And I put on an old record that I used to play in college at parties. And I was like, oh, man, I miss these things. Not enough to keep them by a long shot, but I resold it to some Brazilian guy that sells it in he sells the stuff in Brazil. Like he'll it's hard to get turntables there, so he'll resell it. But you know, I for the pair I paid I lost only $50 and I bought them like 10 years ago.
What?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I got a pretty good deal out of that. So yeah, it's like pretty much like a rental for a $50 rental for years. But those things, like, they really retain their value because Technics turntables are like the best turntables ever. There's something about spinning vinyl that just feels so nice. It sounds so good, man. Like a fucking good house song on a vinyl record. That kick drum, man. You can't beat that analog. You know, analog's always better. Analog is always better. You hear that, Black and Jew listeners? Ask any sound engineer. You want analog, not digital.
Go. Take that to a sound engineer. Put that in your pocket. Cash that check.
No sound engineers. Some sound engineers might be like, it doesn't make a difference. But the good ones will say, if that's a person says it's not going to make a difference, then do not let them record your album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of my drum set too, but I'm kind of part of me wants to just like fucking...
Keep the drum set?
Keep it in LA. I know it's not going to fit in the apartment, but maybe I could put it in like storage or something because we have a storage place. So
what, how are all the books going to fit in the apartment?
I have no idea. I think we're going to have to install shelving or some shit.
Yeah.
Cause like it's so many books. It's like boxes and boxes of books. I thought I had a lot of stuff, but Christine definitely has a lot of stuff. Like Yeah, I don't know where the... And then she doesn't really read them, but they have sentimental value, you know? I went through all of my old pictures from when I was a teenager, and it was a funny trip down memory lane. I saw some old notes. I had some notes that I wrote with my ex, in between me and my ex-girlfriend, and I was like, wow, she was really manipulative. When I was in high school, I was like, man, why didn't I see the red flags here? Or maybe I did, but I was just like, oh, I'm horny. It's crazy, dude. Like, so crazy. Just like, I used to have frosted tips.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I had like a blowout with frosted tips. I would spike my hair with gel every day. What? I looked at myself as a teenager. I'm like, I can't make fun of teenagers today. I've lost all right. I look ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. For me, it was pop punk. Now it's like trap music or whatever the fuck the kids listen to these days. Did you write notes, Reggie, when you were in high school? Did they have that?
Yeah, they had that. They didn't have notes.
Text messages?
No, I mean, there was text messaging, but like, you know, like I wrote, like writing notes was still like, you know, the thing you did. I wrote a lot of notes to girls and I got a lot of no's on those notes.
Got a lot of no's. I usually just wrote it with my girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I didn't get a girlfriend until I was like in 10th grade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Late bloomer, man. I had one when I was in sixth.
Well, go you, Mike.
No, not really. I think my girlfriend was in 10th grade too.
I didn't get a girlfriend until 10th grade.
Or was I a freshman? I don't remember.
And then in middle school, people were like apparently kissing and fucking, and I didn't get that. I was like,
I definitely didn't get that in middle school either.
I didn't get that, and I didn't know where it was happening.
Because we're fucking nerds, and that's why we're comedians.
Like, you know, someone would tell me, you know, so-and-so is like kissing this person. I'm like, what? In the mouth? Are they family?
I would get jealous and be like, what am I doing wrong? Ugh. I'm the worst. Oh.
So yeah, didn't get a girlfriend until 10th grade. And in 10th grade, it all went away like a Band-Aid. Like, took care of everything.
Uh-huh.
Kissing and fucking and dating. Just like...
One fell swoop.
Same person. All right. Boom. Got it.
Me too.
Take that, people that saw me play Nintendo DS and said I wasn't going to get laid.
So what year did you graduate high school again?
2011.
2011. Fuck. So what year did you start? That's 2000... What? Help me out with the math here.
Okay, so...
2007?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And seven.
So you didn't. So why would you write notes if you could just text each other?
Well, no, that was like in middle school. Middle school was writing notes because not everyone.
Well,
had a cell phone.
I wrote notes in high school.
Yeah. Well, I texted in high school.
Exactly, because we didn't have text messaging.
Yeah,
when I was
but
in high school.
Middle school.
Well,
we
did, but like it wasn't very. It was a pain in the ass because you had to. You had the regular dial pad and there was no keyboard. So you had to like say you wanted to write the letter B, you have to press the number 1 3 times.
Yeah. And then you had to go to the new space. Then you arrow the other one, then double arrow. And then.
Exactly. So writing notes was much better.
Yeah.
Writing these long missives.
And then
they all pretty much said the same thing. It was my girlfriend being like, you're so awesome. And I missed you. And this person's an asshole.
My notes were like in middle school. My notes were all like, "Do you want me to like walk you to your bus? No, or yes? Circle one.
Fucking beta, man.
I know that was hella
should have been like, I'm walking you to your bus.
Guess what? You're not circling shit.
Yes, yes, or hell yes. Those are your three options.
And then, you know, there was one kid who wrote on a note one time where he wrote a note where it's like, do you want to go out to say no? Do a backflip.
I've heard of that before. He got that. He stole that from the internet.
He probably did steal that from the internet. It loaded up. Boop, 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 boop. He's like, this is awesome. And then.
So did you ever have a 56K modem?
I think so. Yeah. Yes.
The one that made the weird sounds.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Because my dad was a computer technician.
Oh, okay.
He had to be on the up and up. Like he had to. So he got most.
One
that's
like.
Yeah.
You had one at home?
No. Well, no. At home. Yes.
No shit.
I thought you meant like currently, like there's somewhere in a box. No. We had one at home.
All right. So you're not too old for that.
No.
I heard like the rule is that if she's never had dial-up, then she's too young. for you.
She's too young. What if she's just like a 90s nostalgia? like what if
that's
she's
a great
like
loophole. I think anyone would take that loophole. It's like, oh, 90s nostalgia. All right. It looks like my new girlfriend's 18.
Look, her ringtone is the dial-up noise. Oh, my gosh.
She's like, I thought that was a Skrillex song. Oh, Deep Burn that has been made a million times.
Comparing Skrillex to a motor. You know, 2070 to have kids like emulate the 2010s.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Ugh, she said as she spun the wheel in her retro Apple iPod and listened to
retro click wheel.
Yeah, retro click wheel.
And like 100 years old, that'll be like having a gramophone.
Yeah, it is having a gramophone. That's what it is. Now I just blink my eye. Why do you have that thing, Susan?
It's vintage. It's after the Great Wall. All right, so you want to wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
It's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
So where can the people find you, Reggie?
People can find me on Twitter at @Ratchet_Reggie or on Instagram at @Black.is.
You can find me, Mike Marinoff, on Twitter, Mike Marinoff Comedy on Facebook. And I won't sigh before saying these things because I enjoy it when you follow me. And check us out. Tweet at us, Black and Jew Pod, on Twitter.
Yeah, do that. Tweet at us.
We're right on our wall on Black and Jew Podcast on Facebook.
Yeah, ask us a question. Do what you got to do.
Do what you want. Do what you can. Do it. So until next time, guys.
See ya.